I have a scar on my right knee. It's round, the size of a quarter, and I got it when I was 12 years old, the summer that my bicycle tried to kill me. I was out riding bikes with a friend. My pedal came unscrewed and fell off. I lost my balance, and as I tumbled to the concrete, the pedal took a divot out of my knee, down to the bone. Weeks of painful healing, including several visits to a plastic surgeon, left me with a smooth, neat scar. I will carry it till the day I die. I have other scars, a triangular one on my lower leg from the time I accidentally kicked a broken glass bottle, a mark from the chicken pox, a couple from various moves to new apartments. I hate moving, it makes me tired and careless, and I tend to hurt myself, hence the scars. Those are the ones you can see. I have other scars that are invisible but no less real, from friendships that ended, lovers who left, hopes that died. I'm sure you have scars too, ones you can see and others that are hidden. Everyone does. Our life experiences change us. They leave their marks on our spirits, and they leave marks on our bodies too. So it was for Jesus. Dying and rising from the dead marked his body. John's gospel is the only one that mentions the nails in Jesus' hands and the spear wound in his side. John does not give meaningless details ever. If he mentions it, it's important. Jesus' wounds matter for John, and they are a central feature in Thomas's encounter with the risen Christ. Thomas is often disparaged as doubting Thomas, but I think that's both demeaning and inaccurate. Thomas is the only one of the disciples who is brave enough to venture out into the streets in the days following Jesus' death. The others are all terrified that they'll be arrested next. They're cowering in fear behind locked doors. Not Thomas. Because he's braver than the rest, he isn't there to see what the others see. They got proof that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Thomas is asking only for what everyone else already has. That doesn't sound like doubt to me. And the nickname Doubting Thomas places the focus of this encounter on Thomas. I think the real center of the story, where John wanted our attention to be, is not on Thomas, but on Jesus and his wounds. It's the wounds that interest Thomas. It's the wounds that Thomas wants to see and touch. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, Thomas says, I will not believe. This sounds like an outrageous request, but I think it's extraordinarily insightful. The experience of crucifixion and resurrection has to have marked Jesus. Much like our scars become identifying features, the wounds will show Thomas that this is really Jesus and that he has really risen from the dead. Caravaggio's painting, The Incredulity of St. Thomas, depicts what happens next. The scene uses the sharp contrast of light and shadows that Caravaggio is famous for. Jesus, looking as pale as you would expect from someone who is recently dead, is still wrapped in his linen burial shroud. He has pulled the cloth down over his chest to reveal a clean but open wound just to the right of his breastbone. With his left hand, his wounded left hand, Jesus guides Thomas's hand to touch the mark of the spear. Thomas, looking slightly away from Jesus as if to concentrate all his perception on the sense of touch, puts his finger in the wound up to the first knuckle. Two disciples are peering intently over Thomas's shoulder. Jesus' face, as he guides Thomas's hand, is kind, contemplative, as though he respects the truth Thomas is grasping. The resurrected body of Jesus is still the wounded body of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I contemplate this image of Thomas touching the wounds of Jesus, the emotion stirred up in me is not joy or wonder, but sadness. That surprised me at first, but it seemed fitting when I reflected on it. The physical suffering Jesus endured was far worse than anything I have ever gone through. My bicycle accident was no picnic, but it was nothing like being tortured and crucified. Jesus was whipped. He was forced to wear a crown of thorns that pierced his flesh. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet. It must have hurt terribly. Probably we should be saddened by Jesus' pain, as we would be when anyone we love is hurting. I think that's the insight Thomas had. Jesus had suffered on the cross the same way anyone else would have. He was the Son of God. He was God become flesh and bone and muscle and blood. We might expect God incarnate to use the power of God to avoid suffering, to save himself, as the soldiers taunted him to do, to endure the whip and the crown of thorns and somehow come away undamaged and whole. He didn't do that. God was not a tourist among us, sampling the local culture while standing distant from it. God became one of us in every possible way. And as one of us, Jesus chose not to avoid suffering, but to enter into it. He was wounded, as any other human being in the same circumstances would be. Jesus chose to address the pain of humanity by enduring it himself. As Nadia Bolz-Weber says, God was not sitting in heaven looking down at Jesus' life and death and cruelly allowing God's Son to suffer. God was not looking down on the cross. God was hanging from the cross. God had entered our pain and loss and death so deeply and took all of it into God's own self so that we might know who God really is. That's the only kind of Savior Thomas will accept. One who came to be with us so completely that he ached and bruised and bled with us. Thomas knew that suffering people in a hurting world need a wounded Savior. Jesus was not distant from suffering on the cross, and Jesus is not distant from our suffering either. Sometimes, perhaps most of the time, this seems inadequate to me, never more so than when I am at a bedside or a grave. What I want most when I am sitting with someone facing surgery or chemo or death or grief is a Jesus who will save himself and us, a Savior who will fire off a few bolts of lightning and fix everything. But what I get is Jesus' presence. I get a Savior who has the deepest compassion for us because he knows what it is to suffer. He has been hurt, he has been betrayed, and he carries the marks of that experience. He will not shy away from our pain. He will not pawn us off with platitudes because suffering makes him uncomfortable. He sits at the bedside with us. He weeps at the grave with us. In times of suffering, we may want a superhero. What we get is God incarnate, cradling the world in his wounded hands. What difference does it make that Jesus suffers with us? It may help us to know the presence of Jesus in our own suffering. We might find some comfort with him in the awareness that whatever we face, Jesus will face it with us, and we are not alone. The depth of his compassion can calm our fears and bring us peace. And our sadness over Jesus' pain and suffering might motivate us to ease the suffering of others. We could not stop what happened to Jesus. We could not care for him then. But for his sake, we can do that for others now. Wherever there is pain, abuse, and hurt in the world, we can work to heal it and prevent it, knowing that whatever we do for the least of these brothers and sisters, we do for Jesus himself. Brave Thomas, insightful Thomas, shows us that not even Jesus lost his scars. He carried the marks of his suffering. Suffering that showed him to be truly one of us. Whatever we face in this life or the next, Jesus is with us, bearing us up in his wounded hands.